6 in the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this Thursday afternoon. Happy Halloween to everybody. And I give my standard line when people ask me what am I dressing up for as Halloween. Cranky talk show host, grumpy father, crabby husband. I mean, what, you know.
Former columnist.
Former cranky columnist. I mean, it's just what I do. Emma, however, loves the story. Back when I was probably her age or younger, I dressed up as a pirate, right? I mean, every kid at some point in life dresses up as a pirate. I made the costume, you know, me and my mom did, made the costume, had one of those, like a red, what, headband, or what do you call them? Like a bandana on my head, but I needed a bird, right? Every pirate needs a parrot. Emma loves the story. So went to a store, like a Target or a Woolworths or whatever the heck it was, and they didn't have any fake parrots. All they had was fake pigeons. And so I had to buy like a fake pigeon, and I had a pigeon on my shoulder for Halloween. And people would ask me when I go knocking their door, why do you have a pigeon on your shoulder? And I'd say, because I'm a pirate and it's not a pigeon, it's a parrot. And they'd say, no, it's a pigeon. And so after 7 or 8 houses, I had to take the pigeon off my shoulder because it wasn't a parrot. And I tell that story to Emma and she just belly laughs. And in fact, last year, her and Michelle actually found me a fake pigeon, and brought it home for me on Halloween so I could have my pirate costume back. Love that story. Let's welcome to the program now somebody who's never worn a fake pigeon on their shoulder pretending it's a parrot. His name is Mac Schneider. He is a state senator in North Dakota from Grand Forks. Hello, Senator Schneider. How are you?
Mike, very good. And so far as you know, I haven't worn a fake pigeon.
my advice would be please don't do it because it lives with you forever, especially if you have children. So, or at least don't tell them the story. Maybe that's where I went wrong with this.
Good advice.
Say you and some other Democrats in the state of North Dakota, Senator Schneider, you want to see the state have some oil spill reporting requirements, given what happened near Tioga recently. Tell us all about this. Tell us what you're getting at.
Well, that's right, Mike. And anytime you have a 20,000 barrel oil spill that really goes undisclosed to the people of North Dakota for well over a week, and only in that case after being covered in the media, that really is a shortcoming. That's a failure. And so we want to take 2 steps to really take the lessons of this disaster to heart and make sure that it never happens again. And the first one is the easiest step. That is requiring public reporting of spills of hazardous materials. And the way we're going to do that is Senator Connie Triplett, one of the more knowledgeable members of our caucus on these issues and a member of the Interim Energy Transmission and Development Committee, she's going to ask Legislative Council staff attorneys to begin drafting legislation which requires these hazardous material spills that have to be reported to the state under current law to also be publicly posted on a state agency website. So there's no mystery there. Nobody has to go making a FOIA request to figure out how many spills we've had and where. We just think that openness and transparency, that's going to build public trust rather than raising alarm. I think people are more afraid of what they don't know rather than what is actually out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we want to ask the Interim Energy Transmission Development Committee to do a study of this, to find out where the gaps are between state and federal regulation of pipelines. You know, we're going to do it deliberately, but purposefully over the course of the next year or so before the legislative session convenes in 2015. And so there's going to be plenty of time for input, but we're very serious about making sure that a spill of this nature never happens again in North Dakota.
Would there be a limitation on the size of the spill, or would it just be any chemical spill at all? Because when I brought this up on my program, I think it was last week, Mac, mm-hmm. I said, you know, I understand if it's 12 gallons of oil that gets spilled, that's not a huge deal. That's not a big deal. And so would there be a cutoff, or would it be any spill of any size at all?
Well, that's something we're going to be discussing with Legislative Council as we work to draft the legislation. But there are standards in the Century Code right now determining what spills have to be reported to the state. And I think that makes as much sense as any other standard in terms of which spills get reported publicly on this website. So I think that's a good place to start. Certainly, we're going to work with state agencies like the Department of Health, who I understand are going forward administratively with an initiative like this, where they're posting this information themselves on their website. I think that's a good first step. I'd like to put it in code to make sure that future administrations follow that approach.
Well, Senator Mac Schneider, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show, we're talking about required oil spill reporting. in North Dakota. Would this fall under the realm of regulation, Mac? Would this be too much regulation if we required oil companies in the state to report oil spills? Would that fall under that umbrella? Because that's the pushback you're always going to get from anybody that opposes doing these types of things is, you know, my God, we can't have regulation in the state of North Dakota because the next thing you know, the evil EPA will be breathing down our neck, shutting everything down in the state.
Well, we already require these spills to be reported to the state itself. And so the question is, if state agencies know about it, should the public? And I think that question really answers itself.
Sure.
Of course the people should know. So we've already made the decision that these should be reported to state agencies like the Department of Health. Why not make that information available? You know, again, I think openness and transparency, that's something that's going to increase people's trust in government and in the industry as well. Whereas not reporting a spill for well over a week, that's going to raise people's suspicions and kind of start some of this conspiracy theory talk. I think just get it all out there in the open. That's the best way that we can ensure we're making improvements and make sure we know what's out there.
I heard one of your colleagues, Kenton Onstad, on this morning with Joel Heitkamp on News and Views. And Joel was pretty fired up, and Kenton was as well, talking about, you know, maybe there could be a way to figure out these things before the spill ever happens, have more safety regulations in place, and maybe we could all get together and make, you know, some certain requirements on the industry to put some safety measures in place to get ahead of this before it happens. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there, Mac?
Yeah, nobody's jumping up and down to over-regulate or put in place unnecessary regulations. And so we do have time over the course of the interim. It's going to be over a year until the legislature meets. So we can go about this deliberately and thoughtfully. But I would just take this oil spill as an example. About $2 million of oil was spilled. That does not include the millions that will be required to be spent in mitigation. I'm not sure the company is better off spilling that amount of oil than they would be if there were just reasonable regulations that would have stood a chance of preventing something like this. So there's the cost of doing nothing as well, and in the case of the spill near Tioga, that cost, even to Tesoro in particular, is going to run in the millions. So we want to stop these things from happening. Not only is it the right thing to do for the public, but if we can also save the industry some money in spilled oil, all the better.
Have you had any feedback from folks on the other side of the aisle, Mac? Because we know the way things work in North Dakota, and that's that sadly the party in the supermajority does not seem to ever listen to anything from the Democrats in the state. Have you heard anything?
There are times, Mike, but I think this one isn't really a Democratic or Republican issue. You know, what we're asking for here is very reasonable. It's just a chance to study whether there are ways that people who are responsible to the citizens of North Dakota can take more of a role in guaranteeing pipeline safety. Okay. I don't think any of us are sufficient relying on the federal government to look out for North Dakota when it comes to the maintenance of these pipelines. You know, the federal government has rules that say there are high consequence areas. Those areas are high population centers or near water supplies. But we think the whole state's a high consequence area. And so we're going to look for ways that North Dakotans can protect North Dakotans and make sure that we have pipelines that are safe here in North Dakota.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Always love having you on. Come back again sometime, okay? Hey, I'm going to take some time off this year. Will you want to guest host for me at some point?
I would love to. I always have such a great time. Your producers are very talented and make it easy, so I take you up on that offer.
Don't say that too loudly because people listen. You'll make it seem like Pinto does all the work here, which he actually does. So don't say that too loud, okay?
It sounds good.
Thanks, Senator. Appreciate it. Okay. Senator Mac Schneider out of Grand Forks, North Dakota.